Well, joining us now is ABC science reporter Belinda Smith with the latest in science news. But before we do, let's find out the answer to our Friday brain teaser. Which country in the United Nations has a flag with no colours in common with the Australian flag? In other words, no red, white or blue. Belinda, put us out of our misery. What's the answer?
Well, plenty of people text in with the right answer. Sally, Jamaica, correct guess too?
Jamaica.
Yeah, that's right. Jamaica with a gold diagonal cross and black and green triangles. Not a skerrick of red, white or blue.
Ah, right. And I'm picturing that, I think immediately of Usain Bolt, because often he's wrapped in that flag. So Jamaica was the correct answer to our brain teaser. And now we're off to a different part of the world now, to Kenya, where archaeologists have unearthed the grave of a child dating back 78,000 years. Tell us about that.
Yes, this is quite an extraordinary story. So the site in Kenya, it's called Panga Ya Saidi, and it's around 15 k's from the Kenyan coast, and it's the oldest known burial in Africa by early members of our own species, Homo sapiens, and it was published in the journal Nature earlier this week. Now, it's not the oldest in the world. There are some archaeological sites in Europe that show burial practices, I guess funerals of sorts, by early modern humans as well as Neanderthals, and they're around 120,000 years old. But this burial site in Kenya was discovered in a pit in 2017. And when the archaeologists found it, they realised that the bones were so heavily decomposed and crumbly, almost like powder, that they couldn't fish each piece out one by one. So what they did is they cut out the block and took it off to a lab where they used high-resolution x-rays to see what was inside. And that way they could get a handle on the position of the bones without disturbing them. And what they saw was the surviving fragments of the fossil, which included teeth, the spine, ribs, some of the skull, a collarbone and an arm bone. And it all showed that the child was placed lying on a gentle incline on their right side with their legs folded up and drawn up towards their chest. And by analysing the teeth, the researchers could confirm that the remains belonged to a child who died maybe around 3 years old or perhaps a couple of months younger.
And do we know how big this child was? It was a three-year-old. Were people bigger or smaller then?
They were smaller. I guess like with... You know, we're a tall species, and you know, modern medicine means that we can have better nutrition or are taller. But it was very very small child, and if you have a look online on the ABC website, you can see pictures of the reconstructed bones. It's really quite a small set of remains. And we know it was a Homo sapiens because, well, even though there was more than one species of human getting around the planet back then, like Neanderthals were roaming Europe, they never really lived in Africa. So we can be pretty sure that it's a Homo sapiens.
And you were talking before about the position of the child for the burial. How unusual is that, and what else could scientists learn from that?
Yeah, so this was the position of the child was part of the reasoning behind the conclusion that it was indeed a burial and not some sort of an accidental death, and the child got covered over by sediments over time. Because much of the analysis for this comes not from the bones and the teeth, but what's around them. So for a start, the soil that was around the little body is quite different to the soil outside of the pit, which suggests that someone dug a hole, placed the child inside it, and then covered it with dirt taken from somewhere else. And the researchers also analysed the chemical composition of the soil, and that shows that the body was fresh when it was buried. So even now, you know, nearly 80,000 years later, they could still see signatures that it was a fresh corpse that was placed there. It wasn't just bones taken from somewhere else and placed in there. And, the tilted head and the neck bones, they were positioned in a way that suggests that the head once rested on some type of support, like a pillow that perished over time. And, you know, you can speculate about what happened here. You know, were there elaborate funeral rites that accompanied the burial? But these little insights, they kind of help paint a picture of human behaviour and culture of the time, and that early humans were certainly not, you know, the primitive cavemen and cavewomen that, you know, we once thought.
And finally, from burials to sharks, for a long time we've wondered about how sharks can return to almost the same spot year after year. There's been some new research showing that they might actually use the Earth's magnetic field to guide some of their long-distance trips. So what's this research found?
That's right. It's something that researchers have suspected for a few decades now, that sharks are sensitive to magnetic fields and they could use them for navigation, a bit like a natural GPS. And when you look at some of the migrations that these sharks do, they're quite extraordinary. So in 2005, a great white shark called Nicole, apparently after Nicole Kidman, I'm not sure why, but this shark, Nicole, made a return trip from South Africa to Australia in 9 months. That's more than 20,000 Ks swimming through the ocean, knowing where it's going. So this team of American biologists decided to design a rather elegant and simple experiment to test if sharks can actually sense magnetic fields and align themselves to point in the right direction. So this group, they caught 20 bonnethead sharks off the coast of Florida. They're kind of small. They're not, you know, as big as a great white. They're about a metre long. And they're migratory as well. They return to the same estuaries each year. And so the researchers brought the sharks back to the lab, popped them in some tanks, and around the sides of the tanks are copper coils. And if you run a current through a copper coil, you can generate a magnetic field. And by adjusting that current running through the coils, the researchers recreated magnetic fields from different locations. So the magnetic field of your site up there in Sydney is quite different to mine down here in Melbourne. And when the artificially generated magnetic fields in this experiment matched a magnetic field from 600 kilometres south of where the sharks were caught, the sharks pointed themselves north, sort of suggesting that they could read that magnetic field like a map. And they thought they were south of their home and then kind of orientated themselves to steer themselves in the right direction to get back.
So just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water, sharks will be returning using the magnetic field. Belinda, thank you so much for joining us again.
No worries, Sally. Catch you later.
That's Belinda Smith, ABC science reporter, telling us about ancient burials and also sharks and giving us the answer to our Friday brain teaser.